let's open to the book of Genesis. Praise the Lord. Genesis 13. What a tremendous, tremendous day. I feel the presence of God just breaking us and speaking to us and confirming us. And I know he's going to anoint us as we go back to our cities, that you're not going to go back the same.
Yes.
And it's because God has met you in a beautiful, beautiful way. We have close to 240 people here that came out this morning for this time of prayer. And I know if we can mobilize that, we can mobilize 500 people the next time. Amen. But it's just good to see what God is doing and to hear all the praise reports, what God is doing, and to see familiar faces and some new faces. Amen. Genesis 13, I'm going to share a message that this is a message that the Lord had given me a while ago, and I feel it's appropriate for this morning. Genesis 13, beginning at verse 1. You have it? It says, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock and silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. Look at what it says, to the place of the altar, which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5, who went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents. The Bible says that Abram went to the place of the altar. Let's pray. Father, I just ask this morning, this afternoon, that once again you would anoint us, God, that you would speak to our hearts, God. God, we need you so much. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and in every church here. And God, I pray right now that you just move in these next few minutes and you speak to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn around, shake a hand or two, and tell them you got to stay at the place of the altar. Abraham and Lot, two men who both had tremendous potential. We don't realize that Lot had tremendous potential, but it was a potential that was never realized. But two men with tremendous potential who even started their journey together, but they ended up with different outcomes. And it's very clear the reason why. The Bible says one man built an altar while the other man pitched a tent. One man built an altar and the other man pitched a tent. Altars are built. A prayer life, a relationship with God is built. Altars are built. It takes time. It takes effort. Tents are pitched, you know, pitch a tent. That's all. You pitch a tent, but you build an altar. Meaning this, altars are permanent. Tents are temporary. Altars last. They can withstand the elements, the test of time, right? The winds of adversity. Tents are destroyed by the elements. See, one man pitched a tent, the other built an altar. My question for you today is, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are we following Abraham's model to the place of the altar? Are we going to be like Lot and just pitch a tent? See, Abraham was a man that He understood something about a relationship with God. He was a man that understood how important and how vital to his future, to his destiny, his relationship with God is. It's not going to be talent. It's not going to be skill. It's not going to be knowledge, right? How smart you are, how good you look. Come on, how smooth you are. But it's going to be the presence of God upon your life that's going to be able to keep you. It's going to be the presence of the Lord upon your life that's going to give you success. See, people could give us opportunities. Lot had a tremendous opportunity. Everything that God was going to do for Abraham, because Lot was with Abraham, he was going to be able to experience. And being in a ministry like this, a ministry that has a promise from God. Come on, somebody. Everything that God gave to Pastor Sonny in our promise, God's going to give it to you. Everything that God says that he was going to do, treasures out of darkness, enlarging the place of our tent, everything that God was going to do, our descendants inheriting the desolate cities, everything that God promised to this ministry, because we've joined ourselves to our spiritual Abraham, God says he's going to do it for you. But you got to learn how to build an altar. See, the one thing Lot failed to do in all that time that he walked with Abraham, and all that time that he lived with Abraham, is he failed to learn how to build an altar. I wonder how many people here this morning have built a relationship with God through prayer. That you don't have to be told to pray no more. You don't have to be, somebody doesn't have to wake you up and get you in to prayer anymore. You just do it on your own. It's like a part of your nature now. Where you just wake up in the morning and you know, before I could do anything, before I could get on Facebook, come on somebody, before I could go to work, before I could do anything, I got to first check in with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's how Abraham was. Lot, on the other hand, Lot wasn't like that. He just pitched a tent. He wasn't building something. He wasn't trying to build something that would last. He wasn't trying to build something that was going to stand the test of time. He wasn't trying to build something that was going to be permanent. I want you to bump somebody real quick and tell them, this got to be permanent. God didn't call you for a week, for a month, for a year to go through the home or just go through the training center, but God called you for life. This has got to become a lifelong endeavor on your part. And the only way you could do that is by building an altar. The priority of the altar. When you study the Old Testament, you find that in the Old Testament, the altar was the centerpiece of the temple. It was the centerpiece of the temple. The altar was the very first thing that the high priest passed by on his way into the Holy of Holies. He could not get to the Holy of Holies without passing by the altar. Come on, somebody. He could not enter in to the presence of God without first spending time at the altar. It was a priority in the Old Testament. The altar was a place where God dwells. The altar was a place where man went to meet with God. How many know we serve a holy God? We serve a God that's holy. The altar was a place of worship. You know, when we give to God, even as we picked up that offering is worship. It's not just giving. It's not just you going into your pocket and giving $20, $50, $100 to the church. We're not really giving it to the church. We're giving it to God because it's a place of worship. The altar is where man goes to meet with God. The altar is a place of devotion. It was a place of sacrifice. Animals were sacrificed on the altar in the Old Testament. The altar was a place of forgiveness. Now, I don't know about you. You might be perfect. You might have it all together, and you don't ever need to come to the altar and ask God for forgiveness. But it's at the altar where we're redeemed. Can I hear you say amen? See, we walk into the church, but it's at the altar where man's redeemed. We walk into the home, but it's at the altar where man is redeemed. We walk into the training center, but I'm telling you, it's at the altar where man is redeemed. There's redemption at the altar. See, Abraham's altar was a place that he learned to go daily. Abraham learned to spend time with God on a daily basis. You know, we live in a world that's very busy. Come on, somebody. How many of you are busy? Busy. You get home and you gotta sometimes go right into whatever else is waiting for you when you get home. We finish service, we go home, we wake up, and we come right back to another. We live in a busy, busy world. Some of you got things you still gotta do when you leave here. We live in a busy, fast-paced world. It seems like there's more things happening now than ever before. Even in the ministry, we're very, very busy. But you're never too busy to spend time with God. If you're too busy to spend time with God, you're more busy than God wants you to be. Abraham's altar was a place that he went to on a daily place, and he allowed God to mold and shape his life. Let me ask you a question. Do you have an altar at home? Is there a place where you go? Are there some elbow marks and some knee prints in a certain place in your house? Is there a place on the carpet where it's getting a little worn out? There's a couple little spots on the carpet because you've been there so much. Do you have a chair in your house where there's a couple dents in that chair because you spend so much time at that place? Do you have an altar in your house? Do you have a place where just you go to meet with God? Abraham had that place. And it was at that place where God worked in his life and shaped him so he could fulfill his purpose. How many of you want to fulfill your purpose this morning? How many of you want to see the purpose of God for your church come to pass? Well, the Bible records five altars that Abraham built. And each one had a distinct purpose for his life. I want us to look at these altars. The first one is the altar at Shechem. Everybody say Shechem. Genesis 12, look at what it says in Genesis 12, verse 5. It says, then Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and all the people they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan, and Abraham passed through the land to a place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Shechem was the place of the very first altar that Abraham built. Can you remember the very first altar that you built to the Lord? Can you remember the place? You remember the place where you first met God? Might have been in a garage. It might have been in a rehab home. It might have been in a church that was in a pioneer stage. Come on, somebody. Do you remember that very first altar? This was the first altar Abraham built after receiving the call of God to leave his home and follow the Lord. You remember your first altar? First altars are very important. For some of you, today might be that first altar. Today might be that place where you really understand why God wants to have a relationship with you. Today might be that time where you really understand what God is trying to do inside of your life. Today might be that time where you really get a hold of the purpose and the plan of God for your life. It's coming in to a atmosphere like we have here today. It could be a place of brand new beginnings for somebody here today. This could be a place where you didn't even know what was going on. They just picked you up and brought you here. You went to church last night and all of a sudden you find yourself at a prayer retreat on Saturday. You came into the house of God a week or a month ago, and you find yourself now being thrust across a couple states to come into a place like this. And you don't really know what's going on, but it's a brand new beginning for somebody here today. Can I hear you say amen? See, it's the place where somebody's going to first commit their life to the Lord. That first, when you really come to God and you say, you know, Lord, I'm going to lay my life down today at this altar. No more playing around. No more hidden stuff going on inside of my life. I'm going to come here and I'm going to come clean with you today. I'm going to lay it all down, and it's going to be a fresh new beginning for me. I think there's people in the house of God today that are going to get a brand new start. That something new is going to take place inside of your life. That first altar is so important. It's the place where God begins to stir your heart, where he begins to do something inside of your life where you've never really felt it before. You've heard the calling of God. You've heard about God wanting to use your life. You've heard other people testify and say what they're going to do for God. But today, you can feel it. You feel something stirring. You can't explain it, but you feel something taking place inside of you, deep down inside of you, where you know that you know that you're meeting with God for the very first time. That first altar was a place where God first spoke his will into Abraham's life. A new beginning. A brand new start. Shechem. Somebody's going to get that today. Not only is it a place of new beginnings, but it's a place where we come and we learn to leave our burdens. We come in sometimes to a place like this, and we come in heavy. We come in with burdens on us. We've been out laboring. Come on, somebody. You've been working. And you come into a place like this, and you're getting there, and you're excited about coming, but you know you've been carrying some weights. You've been carrying some burdens. Things have been weighing down. Maybe your family. Maybe the work that God has called you to do. Those financial responsibilities. And you feel the burden. Shechem. You come to that place and you lay your burden down. I don't know about you, but I felt that today. We were worshiping the Lord and I was walking around the room. I was just worshiping and walking, and I was looking at people, young men weeping. I was looking at couples weeping, and I just sensed that there were some things falling off. There were some burdens falling off. There were some things that people have been carrying for a while. Some heavy burdens, some things that if they told you, it would blow your mind. How they've been serving God, carrying that weight. How they've been serving God, knowing that their family was in that condition. How could they come to the house of God and you never see a frown or all you see is a smile and a look of joy. But yet they were carrying some heavy burdens. I felt today, as we're praying, worshiping, that the Spirit of God was lifting burdens off of your back. You know, the Bible says, watch this. It
It says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder, and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Come on, just lift up your hand right there where you're at. Come on, right there, the anointing, that precious anointing. Some of you have been carrying weights. Things that happened to you a lifetime ago. Things that would stop a lesser person. But it hasn't stopped you. But God says, because of your faithfulness, I'm going to break it today. I'm going to break it today. Because of the altar. It's where I meet people. And it's where burdens are broken. It's where new beginnings take place. Thirdly, look at this. Look at this. The altar. Not only is it a place of new beginnings, not only is it a place where burdens are broken, but it's a place of fresh anointing. Oh, come on, somebody. Just a fresh touch of God. There's nothing like a fresh touch of God where you just feel the Holy Spirit sweeping through the room. And you just feel the power of God coming upon you. But it's at that altar of Shechem where Abraham was journeying that God met him. I'm going to do a new thing. Where God met him, I'm going to lift your burden. That thing you've been carrying. Where God met him, I'm going to anoint you with the fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody needs to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Second altar, Genesis 12, is the altar at Bethel. Verse 7 and 8, it says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And watch this. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. At Bethel, in Abraham's lifetime, he built two altars. He built two altars at Bethel. Five altars total. Two of them were at the same place at Bethel. Bethel was the house of God. That's what it means, the house of God. The first altar that he built it when God made a covenant with him. God came and God promised him. How many of you have a promise from God? The first time was when God covenanted with him. The second one was built after he experienced a setback in Egypt. I mean, you know, there's times in our life where we experience setbacks. There's times in our life where we experience adversity. And Abraham built an altar when he received the promise. And he came back after a setback. And he built that altar again. First altar was built when he was blessed. How many of you know how to be blessed? Come on, we know how to, we're good at being blessed. When things are going good, we can worship and praise the Lord. The second altar was built after a famine, when there was nothing, when there was little. And this place of Bethel, it shows us, regardless of your circumstances, whether you're on the mountaintop today or you're in the valley, you need to be at the altar. You need to be, whether you experience victory or defeat, you need an altar in your life. It was at the house of God. Watch this. It was at the house of God that Abraham built the most altars in his lifetime. And I believe with all my heart that our greatest altars are going to be built in the house of God. When the people of God come together. Oh, I love getting a hold of God alone. I love going into my office in the morning and putting on my little worship music, spending time with Jesus. But I love it when we come together at the altar of God. I love it. I love it when I hear drug addicts and prostitutes and couples that have been restored and men of God and women of God lifting up holy hands and worshiping God. There's nothing like the presence that you experience in the presence of your people. Our greatest altars are built in the house of God. They're going to be built in prayer retreats, discipleships, leadership trainings. They're going to be built at World Conference. Come on, somebody. The altars in the house of God are key for our lives. Because it's in a place like this where we build an altar. And those altars represent repentance and consecration, direction, and the blessing of God upon our life. I believe just by you coming, driving from wherever you drove from to pray. Where are you going? I'm going to drive to Milwaukee. What are you going to do? I'm going to pray. You're driving from Minnesota to Milwaukee to pray. Yes, I'm going to go pray. Where are you going? Where are you going, son? Oh, mom, I'm going to meet the rest of the youth and we're driving up the 94 north to Milwaukee. What are you going to do, son? You're going to Great America? No, I'm going to pray. I'm going to the house of God and I'm going to pray. Boss, can I have Saturday off? I know I'm not due for a day off, but I need Saturday off because I have to go to Milwaukee. What are you going to Milwaukee for? Is there a funeral? Is there a family? No, I'm going to pray. What do you mean you're going to pray? Yeah, I'm going to pray. A bunch of people are going to go to Milwaukee and pray. See, it's in these altars where, you know, it's one thing to get up out of bed and roll over and pray right there. But it's another thing to get up out of bed a couple hours early, fill the tank up. Come on, somebody. Huh? Get on the road so you can come pray. That took a little more for some of you. Come on now. Right? I know them vans, they be like just. That was a $100 prayer meeting. Come on, somebody. Some of the youth said, hey, pastor, we're leaving. This was last night. Where are you going? We're going to go early. We're going tonight. What are you going to do? We're going to pray. See, the altar in the house of God was the one that Abraham came to the most in his life. See, I believe what takes place here, what takes place when we come together like this, you can't put a price tag on. There's never an experience that you're going to experience like coming together with a couple hundred people and praying together. And worshiping again. You notice they didn't say a word in those songs. They didn't sing a word. It was just worship. Just simple. I'm going to lift up my hands and usher in the presence of God. See, it's at these altars where I believe the greatest breakthroughs take place. Jesus said this, that when we gather together in his name, come on, in his name, he's there in the midst. I don't know about you, but I'll drive a couple hours to get into the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but the presence of the Lord is worth that tank of gas. It's worth missing that day of work. It's worth being ridiculed by your unsaved loved ones or friends because you're going to go pray. It's these altar calls that we have in places like this that prepare us for when we go back out. Come on, somebody. We face the enemies and the giants and all the winds of adversity. After being in a service like this, you could go back and face anything. Those trials you had, all those excuses why you couldn't come. Now that you're here, you said that wasn't nothing. You conquered some. Some of you conquered some things just by getting here because the enemy didn't want you here. He tried everything he could do to stop you from coming. One thing about pastors and leaders, we're good at cutting through excuses. Come on, somebody. You come to your pastor with an excuse, and he'll give you an answer for that excuse. Well, you could do it like this. Right? Why don't you get five people, put them in your car, and ask them each for $5. That'll get you there. Huh? But the altars in the house of God are the greatest. The third altar, let's move on. Genesis 13, it says, then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And he built an altar there to the Lord. This altar is significant because the altar at Hebron was built after Abraham separated from Lot. And the reason they separated, watch this, is because things got a little too crowded. Come on, somebody. Things got a little too crowded and Abraham's men and Lot's men were bumping heads. They couldn't work together. Things got a little crowded. And there had to be a time of separation. And there's times in our life. There's times in our life when our lives become crowded with things that want to rob us of our destiny. There's times in our life when our lives get crowded with things that want to rob us of our direction. There's times in our life when our lives get crowded with things that want to rob us of our blessing. And we're living in those times. The Bible says that in the last days, people are going to depart from the faith. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. We're living in those times where it's getting crowded. The world wants to crowd the church. Things want to crowd you. All the problems of life want to crowd you. But it's important that you learn how to build an altar where you can separate yourself from the things that crowd you. Because things always want to rob us. The enemy doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny, your calling. He doesn't want you to be anointed. Watch this. He'll let you be saved, but he don't want you anointed. He'll let you come to church, but he doesn't want you anointed. He'll let you walk with God. He'll go ahead, go to church. There's thousands of people in our cities that go to church. There's hundreds of churches that don't have an anointing. Victory Outreach, we have an anointing. We have an anointing for a specific target in the world today. God has anointed us to reach the treasures out of darkness. So don't tell me it can't happen in your city. Don't tell me that it can't happen in your community. We have an anointing. Sometimes things want to crowd the anointing. Time, right? I don't have enough time. Sometimes, remember one time I broke down to someone just how much time we have in a week. Pastor, I don't have enough time. I'm always at church. Okay, wait a minute. You're at church Sunday, 2 hours. Sunday night, another 2 hours. Bible study, another 2 hours. Friday, another 2 hours. That's 8 hours. Let's say you're really committed. We'll double it, 16 hours. out of the week, right? What are you doing with all the other time? Some people, and I'm not saying you're here today, but some people spend more than 16 hours in front of the TV. And I hate to say this, and I use Facebook, but I use it to preach the gospel. Some people spend more than 16 hours on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever else they're coming up with. We got time. We just got to learn to use it wisely. Come on, somebody. We got time. We got time to do many other things. I could think of things I could be doing. I could think of things I would like to be doing. Huh? But I could think of one thing that I need to be doing. Come on, somebody. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You got to get rid of those things that crowd you, that want to rob you, so God can come and deal with us. God deals with us, we align ourselves to the will of God. And when we align ourselves to the will of God, then God establishes us in the work of God. I just don't want to do a work for God. I want to be established in the work of God. Because there's people that come into cities and they do a work for God. But you need to be established in that work of God. In other words, I'm here to do this work for life. This work, this isn't like a temporary thing. Come on, somebody. This thing isn't something I'm doing until something better comes along. This is life. This has to become your life's work. All the other stuff, the job, those are just the means that you're going to fulfill this life. Do you hear me this morning? See, it's at Hebron where God separates you. It's at Hebron where God establishes you. It's at Hebron where God consecrates you. And he begins to form his will. There's people here today that they don't need to have a visible sign from heaven. They don't need a rainbow. They don't need smoke and thunder. All they need to do is be told. Watch this. All they need to be told is go here. Go there. Do this. And you know why they're able to do it? Because they built an altar. And they can hear the voice of God speak through any vessel that he chooses to speak. There's men and women here today that they didn't hear directly from God. They didn't. Son. Daughter, I would question that if they told me that. No, their pastor just said, "Hey, I want you to move over here, move into this community. Hey, there's an opening. There's an opportunity over here on the other side of the country. Come on, somebody." I want to send you not on the West Coast, but I'm going to send you, come on, training center, to the East Coast. Yeah. But because you've built an altar, you are able to discern when God is speaking to you. And when God speaks to you, he can send you any place, and you'll feel good. You'll feel at home. Right? See, it's at Hebron where you develop that. That's what we need. We need men and women that are going to develop. They're going to establish. They're going to separate. They're going to consecrate where God can form that will. And you'll be willing to do anything that God calls you to do. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. One more. One more. The fifth altar that Abraham built. I believe some of us are coming to that place in our lives. It was at a mountain called Moriah. Genesis 22 verse 2, look at what it says. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Abraham's last and greatest altar was built on Mount Moriah. The greatest altar that he built. It was an altar that many would have turned back from. It was an altar that he had to climb a mountain to reach. It was an altar, watch this, that as he was building it, it was going to break his heart. He was building this altar, looking at his son. You know, that thing that meant so much to him. That possession that meant so much to him. That opportunity that meant so much to him. And as he was building it, it crushed him. It hurt him. Can you imagine the journey that they went on? He saddles up his son. He saddles up the wood. And they're going on a journey for a few days now. And as they're making the journey, little Isaac, Daddy, where are we going? Oh, we're going. See that mountain over there? We're going over there. Daddy, we're going to do a sacrifice. You're building an altar. Yes, son, I'm building an altar. You're going to sacrifice, huh, Daddy? I see the wood. Yes, son, we're going to the altar. But, Daddy, where's the animal? Can you imagine what happened to Abraham when his son said, Daddy, where's the animal? You know how your heart felt? When you couldn't provide for your kids. When you couldn't do something that you wanted to do, but because you were in a place where you knew it was going to take a little effort, there was going to take a little sacrifice, and you couldn't quite come through the way you wanted to, and how your heart broke for that. That's how Abraham felt. He looked at his son and said, son, don't worry. God's going to provide for us. God's going to make it happen, son. So he's going along that altar with a broken heart, climbing the mountain, right? Weeping. But this was going to be the greatest altar he ever built. Because the true sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. See, it's when we get to that place where, when we get to that place where nothing else matters. God, I'm going to put it on the line. Yes, God, I love my son. Abraham was thinking, but I love you more. And I think in the back of Abraham's mind, he said, you know what? God promised me this boy. God promised me this boy. And even if I do have to take his life, God has the power to resurrect him and give him back to me. God promised me whatever I give up for God, because God promised me, God is able to bring that dream alive once again. But you're never gonna think like that unless you build some altars. Unless you've been to Shechem, unless you've been to Hebron, come on somebody. You won't be able to build altars where you're willing to give it all up to God. Where you're willing to, you know, put that job on the side. So you could go be a missionary someplace. You know, give up that American dream, the house with a white picket fence, so you can go live in some ghetto. Come on, somebody. See, when we share people stuff like that, they look at us like we're crazy. But what they don't realize is when you spend time at the altar of God, the ghettos look good. Come on, somebody. Those projects look like mansions. Those drug addicts, they look like treasures. Come on, somebody. But it takes time at the altar. It takes you becoming that man, that woman of God. Through prayer, where you're spending time daily. daily alone with God. This is just us coming together. What you feel when we come together is all the praying men and women. The presence that you feel is all the praying men and women that they bring with them into this place. And it's those hearts being lifted up to God, and that anointing beginning to flow from heaven down upon us. And it happens at the altar. We need to understand and value the place of the altar. I want the musicians to come. The place of the altar. What are you building? Are you building an altar? Or are you pitching a tent? You'll never be able to build a lasting ministry if you don't build it at the altar of God. You might do good for a season. Lot looked good in the beginning. Hey, Lot looked smooth. He prospered. He had his little herd. He had his little guys. And he was heading to this town. It was the Las Vegas of their day, Sin City. Oh, it was green. The grass was green. It looked good. He was looking sharp for a second. And he separated himself from the promise of God. Come on, stand with me. When you look at the life of Abraham and the life of Lot, it's easy to see the difference between them. Men and women that build altars and men and women who build tents live differently. There's different priorities. Men who build altars and men who live in tents end up differently. Bible says Abraham walked by faith. Lot, he went by sight. Bible says Abraham was a generous man, a selfish man. Lot was worldly and greedy. See the difference of the altar. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Lot found a city built by men and later destroyed by God. Abraham became the father of our faith. Lot ended up in a deserted cave alone. See, pitching tents will never hold you up. Pitching tents will never hold you up, but an altar will. An altar will stand the test of time. Tents are where men live, but the altar is where God dwells. It's where God dwells. Come on, lift up your hands. Worship the Lord. Come on, worship Him.